I greet you with blessings today on this Holy Trinity Sunday, June 7th. My name is Pastor Melinda Vandersice, and I serve our Redeemer Lutheran Church and First Presbyterian Church in Newberry. I am also the administrative interim pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Sault Ste. Marie. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our readings for today are from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 4a, Psalm 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, and the Holy Gospel for today is according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." I greet you today with grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, help me speak words of peace and hope and love today. Amen. And then I ask, how? How can I speak words of peace and hope and love when the world is in chaos? When so many people are dying because of the color of their skin? When there is such disregard for human life? When voices are silenced, when fathers and mothers don't come home because they've been murdered, even at the hands of those who are sworn to protect, when we are a nation divided politically, racially, economically, and spiritually, how do I speak words of peace and hope and love today? In our country of roughly 317 million people, about 14% are black. On Memorial Day, May 25th, that number was painfully reduced by one, George Floyd. The events from last week, which have carried over into this past week, have shaken us to the core. Horror and outrage across the country and the world continue as the video showing George's murder plays over and over on the news. A Minneapolis police officer with his knee pressed on the neck of George Floyd. Three other officers who refused to stop him. "I can't breathe." These are the words we hear from George Floyd. "I can't breathe." At 9:25 p.m. on May 25th, George Floyd died. You've seen the video. We all have. We all heard his cries for help. We all heard the bystanders begging the officer to stop and for the other officers to intervene. And yet, George Floyd died. My sermon for last Sunday was finished on that Wednesday afternoon. As is our practice now, it was emailed to the staff of my three churches, ready to be copied and mailed Thursday morning. After George's murder on Monday, and after the peaceful protests on Tuesday. I certainly didn't know what was going to happen next. I don't know who could have predicted what would happen next. Because you see, Wednesday evening, everything changed. The protests turned violent. Buildings were looted and burned. Chaos erupted in the streets. People in law enforcement releasing violent anger on each other. Again, you've seen the videos. You've listened to the news. In last week's sermon, after George's murder, I said that we've seen blatant acts of injustice towards God's people, the same people God calls us to love, our neighbor. And I posed the question, is this how God wants us to treat one another and how we show our love for each other? Yes, more questions to answer. Not only how can I speak words of love and peace and hope today, but also, is this how God wants us to treat one another and how we show our love for each other? Huge questions that must be answered. Huge questions that also require us to look at ourselves and finally take a stand. Black lives matter. Well, you may also ask, don't all lives matter? A colleague of mine recently shared this. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, Samaritan lives matter. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, children's lives matter. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, Gentile lives matter. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, Jewish lives matter. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, women's lives matter. Instead of saying, all lives matter, Jesus said, lepers' lives matter. My colleague's comment continued, even though Jesus loves everyone, even to the point of dying for their sins, he went out of his way to intentionally help specific groups of people, the alienated, mistreated, and those facing injustice. So saying Black Lives Matter and participating in a movement seeking justice, positive reform, and empowerment is one of the most Christ-like things we can do. As a white pastor, I have also said all lives matter. They do, but as my colleague shared, there are specific groups of God's children that we must stand up for. This doesn't mean that we care for anyone less. It means that we have a privilege that others don't because of their race or color, national origin, their sex, sexual orientation, disability, or religion. I was recently confronted about my white privilege by a black sister in Christ, Rhonda. Words that I used caused her pain, and for that, I apologize. What I've learned is that white privilege doesn't mean your life hasn't been hard. It means your skin color isn't one of the things making it harder. White privilege means you can go into any store and not think twice that you will be followed by security because of the color of your skin. White privilege means people won't make assumptions about your intelligence because of the color of your skin. White privilege means you won't be denied a position in a company or receive equal pay because of the color of your skin. Even though this is illegal, it still happens. I was born into a white family. That is nothing I am ashamed of or can change. But that doesn't dismiss the need for me to speak out for those whose voice is often silenced. For those who remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches and marches, many assumed that was the end of racism. It certainly wasn't. Racism is still so prevalent in our culture today, and yet, for some reason, rarely comes to light until someone's actions become too egregious to silence. or are caught on video. There is a picture being circulated on social media that shows Dr. King walking arm in arm with Coretta Scott King and other civil rights marchers with the caption, "This is a protest," atop a picture of recent looting in Minneapolis, which reads, "This is a crime." Justin Tinley, writer for The Undefeated, an online platform for exploring the intersections of race, sports, and culture, recently wrote, "This is all while the murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and Floyd, at the hands of policemen and vigilantes, held Black America's consciousness hostage. In the midst of a pandemic claiming over 100,000 American lives, with a special perversion for Black life." The comparison isn't just historically inaccurate, he says. The meme further paints the human rights icon in a light that is, at best, a disrespectful attempt at respectability politics. At worst, it plays into the conservative misdirection of who King was and what he stood for. Dr. King's daughter, Bernice, tweeted, "It would be great if folks were as zealous about evoking my father to eradicate racism as they are about evoking him to criticize how people respond to racism." One must look at the backstory as to what led Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to become the voice for the Black people. Blood was shed. Lives were lost. That peaceful-looking picture doesn't tell the whole story. That peaceful-looking picture doesn't tell about the historical trauma from hundreds of years of slavery, captivity, and brutality perpetrated against Black men, women, and children. Let me be clear. Some individuals and groups have taken advantage of people's anger and actions and destroyed others' property. This is never acceptable. This is never condoned. People's lives have already been affected by the because of the pandemic. People are out of work. Household income is reduced. And now business owners must decide if they will rebuild. Vital infrastructure was destroyed. Lootings must stop. Killings must stop. All cops are not bad cops. All Blacks are not bad people. All whites are not white supremacists. The conversations need to start where they haven't started and continue where they have been ongoing. We have to do better, and I'm including myself in that. A brother in Christ, the Reverend Cutter L. Yateem, director for Evangelical Mission and assistant to the bishop for the South Region at Florida Bahamas Synod, ELCA, recently said, "We need to repent and ask for forgiveness from our brothers and sisters in the Black and brown communities. We need to repent and ask for forgiveness from all those who suffer racism and discrimination in America. We need to repent and ask for forgiveness for allowing privilege, especially white privilege, to dehumanize others. We need to repent and ask for forgiveness for staying silent and not raising our voices to fight injustice. Come on, friends. Be of courage and make a difference. The world needs you." So, how do we speak words of peace and hope and love? We find that in Scripture. We listen to God. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we hear, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Do justice through peaceful protests with our actions and words for our Black sisters and brothers. Love everyone. Be kind to your neighbor. and walk humbly with God. Despite all the anger and hate and destruction, there has been a tremendous amount of love shown since the death of George Floyd. Communities gather to clean up the aftermath of the destruction. People donate food to those whose grocery stores were burned to the ground. Medical supplies pour in to help those injured. Law enforcement and military personnel hug, kneel, stand hand in hand, and arm in arm with protesters. These are the signs of hope. As sisters and brothers in Christ, if we speak out towards hate with hate, we accomplish nothing. If we speak out against racism with racism, we accomplish nothing. We must have compassion in our words. We must have love in our hearts. That love comes from our relationship with Christ. In John 13, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Though we should never forget the murder of George Floyd on May 25th and what followed, we must find the language to unite us in peace. Let us follow Christ's commandment. Let us treat one another in love, with hope, and in peace. And may we do so on this Trinity Sunday, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join in praying the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that makes us one. Amen. This concludes our service for today. If you would like to support one of the ministries providing this broadcast, please clearly designate your contribution to Faith Lutheran Church, First Presbyterian Church, or Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. All contributions may be mailed to P.O. Box 473, Newberry, Michigan, 49868. This is Pastor Melinda Vandersice. Thank you for joining me today. Go in peace. Do good to others. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.